cliffcentral.com.
That's a nice song for a Monday, huh?
Nice.
Much better. Are you satisfied now? At least that was a little bit better than the previous one.
Who was that, Gareth?
It was...
DJ Delicious again.
No.
DJ Delicious.
It's called Guide Me. It's featuring Sasha Sloan, and it's by D'Oro.
Huh. Sure. People just... Artists can't just have normal names.
Absolutely not.
Anymore, hey? DJ Delicious, D'Oro.
Yeah, like Led Zeppelin was ever normal.
Yeah.
The cooler, the quirkier, the better.
Mm.
But by the way, very quickly on cool, quirky things this week as well. We spoke very briefly about the Sunday Times Generation Next Awards.
Yes.
On Friday.
Did they have it?
No, they're happening this Thursday. So it is a countdown.
We've been having it.
To hashtag GenNext 2017. Now, on the day, as much as there will be the great grand award show, what you might not know, is that there's also a youth marketing conference as well. So it's a success of the Sunday Times Generation Next Youth Marketing Conference, which was hosted in 2015. So now it will be back in 2017 for the third year in the row, where marketing gurus in the youth space will basically gather and provide the audience with insights into how to basically crack this youth audience. So why should you basically attend? It's all about access to leading local experts in youth advertising and marketing and branding, and also gaining insights on various youth marketing related topics, and just to be able to discover new ideas and share new ways of thinking as well. So it's all going down this Thursday.
Thank you very much, Sia.
Very awesome.
Here's an interesting Facebook message we got from Emily. She says, regarding dream jobs, work is work at the end of the day. It can't be leisure. There isn't always the easy route. There's admin, there's actual work, but the goal is for it to be purposeful and meaningful to you.
Mm.
Yeah. Very good point. Thank you, Emily. She sent that to us on Facebook this morning. We'll take your thoughts, your calls. You know what to do. WhatsApp 0797482090. Someone wants to know what our Skype username is. It's CliffCentral, one word.
It's the latest from the MTV Awards. Trevor Noah won Best Host.
Oh.
Beating out Ellen, RuPaul, Samantha Bee, and John Oliver.
I'm so pleased he beat out RuPaul.
Who's this Samantha Bee?
Nice
with
one.
Her show, Full
Good
Frontal.
Good for you, Trevor. Very nice. I have to watch more of The Daily Show. I don't see enough of it, and I know I can get it on YouTube.
Mm.
It's usually where you get like, the highlights.
Clips. Yeah.
So I've just got to make an effort. Honestly, though, I'm so into... last night, I had a shower, and I got dressed in warm clothes, and I mean, sat in my study, and I watched that Versailles. So I've finished the first season now. It's fantastic. Oh,
wow. That is... an odd place to get comfortable.
No, I like it because I don't have a TV in my bedroom. And I got the sort of the big Mac screen in my
study
so I watch it on there.
Okay.
And also, my whole amp and everything is blown downstairs, so I have to figure that out.
And also, when watching something so prim and proper, you must sit up straight.
Yeah.
That's why you watch it in the study.
I won't lie. I sometimes put my feet on the desk. But.
Sitting up straight and getting comfortable is not meant to be in the same sentence.
No, but this is perfect. I watched two episodes last night, so I finished the first season. Now I've got the second one to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with me is when I watch these shows, I want to know how much of it is historically accurate. Don't know why it matters. Like, can't I just get into the story?
Mm.
But I can't. I have to then go and look up, all right, So in other words, he had a kid with this woman, and then I have to look her up and I have to find out all about her.
Oh.
Then I want to see what she actually looked like. I mean, first of all, none of the people in reality, based on the paintings, ever looked as good as these actors and actresses.
Mm-mm.
They all look like models and, you know, actors and actresses have to be good looking, especially these women at Versailles. My God, there's this one woman who's gorgeous. You look at a portrait of the actual person who she's playing. You wouldn't bang her with someone else's dick.
Oh. So that's the thing about the royals, right? Because the royals only made other royals. So the gene pool wasn't exactly attractive. Because you couldn't bring in the common good-looking people.
Right.
Yeah. So they were bound to be the back of buses.
You know, I was talking the other day. We had Conrad Penny in here, and we were talking about genealogy. So I'm looking up the descendants of King Louis XIV, the one who built Versailles, right? Because obviously that the Bourbon royal line of France died out when Marie Antoinette and Louis the 16th had their heads cut off. And the kids were all dead. So I looked this up. I found out that there is that the current Duke of Anjou who lives in France. In Spain.
Ooh, Duke of Anjou.
Anjou. Anjou. So he lives in Spain and his name is Alfonso or something.
He's I'm here for this name party.
If the French royal line had gone and he would be the king of France, but he speaks Spanish, not French.
Yeah.
And he lives in Madrid. And his mother is like some kind of celebrity. Listen to how bizarre this is. So his mother is the daughter of Federico Franco, who was the dictator of Spain, the fascist dictator of Spain after World War II. So what a curious mix of... This guy must be the most right-wing guy in the world just by his bloodline. He's got the absolute monarchy of Louis the 14th running in his veins. And then he's got Francisco Franco, who was this modern 20th century fascist dictator. He must be the most right-wing guy on earth, right?
My goodness.
And then I found out that the Spanish king is married to a CNN newsreader.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
She's Spanish, but she worked for CNN in Spain. And she's now the queen of Spain. So she's a commoner, just like Kate Middleton. She came out of nowhere, and she's now queen of Spain.
Yeah, you have to drop that.
So you have no idea. I mean, like you, Mabs, you could be the next queen of Ethiopia, empress of Ethiopia.
I don't see why I shouldn't be.
I don't see why either. Isn't that exciting? I think that's kind of exciting.
You're already... Yes, K-W-E-N.
Clearly, we're not going to do away with royals, though.
No, they're always going to be there.
For as long as, you know, they keep breeding.
Well, they've entrenched themselves. They've kind of made themselves, put themselves on the money. They've put themselves in statues.
It's just the idea of their relevance, then.
No, I mean, in 2017, they're so redundant.
They're not relevant. They really aren't that relevant
anymore.
No,
they're not. Absolutely not.
But when you watch these shows, it's interesting to see how everyone defers to them. Like Louis XIV, he had a whole... Tell me if this is boring. I'll stop.
Carry on.
Okay.
He had this whole ceremony. Every day was a ritual, a religious ceremony around him at Versailles.
So, in his honor.
In his honor. So yeah. he'd wake up in the morning. One of the greatest honors in the court was to be the person who held the bowl that he could dip his hands in to wash them. The next greatest honor was the guy who put his shirt on. And these were noblemen who were... They weren't servants who were begging to do this. It was dukes and earls and marquises and viscounts and barons who were lining up to wash the king's hands and to put on his robe.
What?
And to... Yeah! And to brush his hair and to shave him. And
oh, so the next time anyone even has a little peep or a poop to say about one taking a bit too many selfies.
Oh, please.
Or staring at a reflection.
This guy was so self-absorbed. You have
there
no idea.
We go.
But it was also how he kept people busy. So he kept them all... This way they were disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these were powerful people. They all had lots of money.
Mm.
They had sometimes their own armies. They controlled huge parts of the French countryside. So to keep them in line, he developed all these rules. Table manners all come from him.
Oh, really?
The fork, the knife, the spoon, where it all goes, which course gets served first. That was all him. He made it all up.
Huh.
And ever since then, that's been considered the height of respectability, fashion, and good breeding. Louis XIV started all that stuff. Before that, the king would just pick up a whole chicken and just bite into it like a monster.
you just
lift up the whole boar and just start eating away at it, spit out the bones.
We were
monsters. And then this guy came along and he said, no, we will use a fork and we will use a knife, and you will only use the fork on the left hand side and the knife on the right, and you will put a little bit of salt and you will put a little pepper, and you will have these glasses for different kinds of wine, these glasses for different kinds of champagne, these glasses for different kinds of whiskey.
Oh, and
so on.
It must have been hell for the left-handed people
when
they started using fork and knives.
And the women.
Oh, I've never thought of it. Hold up.
Yeah, they just have to fit in with the rest of us.
It's just the other way around.
Yeah, but they were getting beaten to be right-handed anyway.
This is true.
Just being slapped.
That actually happened to my grandmother. She was beaten into writing
terrible
with her right hand, and now
terrible.
She's
grandfather
ambidextrous.
And
as
she
a
had
result.
A stutter, right?
Yeah,
big stutter, probably.
Well, they developed all kinds of learning difficulties because of this.
But I'd like to know, in all of this grandeur of the royals and whatnot, I'd like to actually find out who was the most successful in actually leading a nation.
Oh, well.
You know, the economy,
who knows,
or the
yeah.
growth, whatever the case
you
is.
You can't figure it out because what are your conditions for victory? So is military victory important? Is peace at home important? Is a good economy important? Is the arts and the development of the arts and science and various technological developments, is that what you would consider important?
Well, anything apart from getting your face on some currency and getting 15 people wrapped up in you waking up and getting dressed for the day is better or admirable.
Well, that's what these people were. They were obsessed with this stuff.
So there's this show called Reign that I'm currently watching. It's about Mary, Queen of Scots. I want to know what...
She was a bitch.
I want to, because remember last week you were telling us about how the king and the queen have had separate quarters and they would only really sleep together when it was time to
make
produce an heir.
Yeah.
But I'd like to know, for example, so with the king and all his mistresses, how were people having sex back in those days? Was it just like the pull-out method?
What do you mean? If they didn't want to have kids?
Well, you didn't. So the women couldn't pop a pill.
No.
And they when
the women had no say at all.
When were condoms in existence?
No.
So how were people having sex before contraception?
They had what they called the rhythm method, which where you would time it and you'd make sure that it was a time of the month where she could not conceive, and you would make sure that it was you kind of pulled out at the right moment, and then you didn't come inside her.
So it was a lot of pulling out then.
Yeah, but most of the time, the woman had no say. If the man said, "I want a child," she'd just have to have a child.
I also heard there were some very slippery staircases in those days.
What do you mean? No. What?
Oh, yeah.
Ben, what do you mean?
But also, remember this. Listen.
I don't get it.
Sex on
the wife would just fall down, and then there wouldn't be a baby.
Oh, sorry. I was totally
facial expression this morning.
Bear in mind, most children didn't make it to adulthood. A lot of kids, any disease, they didn't have antibiotics.
Yeah.
So every time you got a cold, it was potentially life threatening.
Imagine.
So these women were potentially giving birth to 8, 9, 10 children.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh. You had to make sure at least one or two grew up to adulthood.
And then just on the same topic then, was sex never recreational?
No,
just
it was, but
fun?
That was with the servants.
So,
isn't...
With the king and the queen, they never just had sex for the hell of it.
No, well, the king had mistresses for
there
that.
There were rare occasions where the king
the queen
and queen...
doesn't have urges.
No, no, she didn't. Women didn't have urges.
How dare you enjoy sex as a woman?
That was abandoned in the Roman times.
Oh, my
Here's the deal.
Goodness.
Sometimes, on a rare occasion, I'm talking like one out of every 20 marriages, the woman actually loved the man and the man actually loved the woman.
Yeah, because everything was arranged.
Yeah. But a lot of the time, it was political.
You were actually kind of glad that
this Louis the 14th, his wife was his cousin. So only one out of their six children made it to adulthood and became what they called the Grand Dauphin. The Grand Dauphin, who was the prince, right? Mm-hmm. The crown prince of France. But poor people, it was worse. The peasants... They'd have sex all the time and they'd produce all these children that would never grow up to adulthood. Half the children would die in childbirth, including sometimes the mother who would, and they'd just find another wife. So it was tough. Just to survive was tough. But there were also, the interesting thing about Versailles and the court of Louis the 14th is it was very permissible because his brother was gay. Philippe, the Duc d'Orléans, was
Duc
gay.
He had a
gay lover. And a wife.
Oh.
So the wife, he had children with the wife,
uh-huh.
But he had the gay lover.
Sure. Did he live with both of them?
It depended, because he was the prince. They called him Monsieur at the court.
Monsieur Philippe.
No, Monsieur. Monsieur. Just Monsieur. The eldest brother of the king was called Monsieur. And he would just parade around with his boyfriend some of the time, and the rest of the time with his wife. So totally dependent on what the occasion was.
Well.
And he got jealous because the king sometimes would bang his wife.
Oh, but why are you jealous when you are gay?
Because he still loved his wife.
Oh.
Very, very messed up.
Very.
That is twisted.
Sure. Yeah. That was a time, hey?
Oh, you see? And if you go back further than that, I mean, the ancient Romans, you'd pretty much do everything.
What do you mean?
The ancient Romans, they'd get off their horse, they'd just start with the stable girl and the barmaid. And
oh,
the
sorry.
I thought you were going to say with the horse.
No, not the horse. They got off their horse. Yeah, get off the horse, then they'd go on to the next horse. No, of course not.
But the thing about the Romans, okay, let's not really poo-poo them. I mean, I'll play devil's advocate here. But it was an exciting time for humans, right? They were discovering new things. They were just testing their boundaries.
Exciting time.
I mean, they were experiencing.
That's one way to look at it.
The thing is, they were pushing like frontiers, right? And then they're doing it sexually as well. So yeah. They might happen to be in a place where things were different and no one's going to say anything.
No, people didn't have any problem with it.
Would they have been better?
They were quite liberal for that time.
The only thing that made all of that
bathhouses.
No. What made sexual behavior acceptable or unacceptable was religion. Religion came in and it said you got to have one wife, and you only got to have sex for children, to make children.
So basically, Jesus was the biggest cock block in history.
In history,
when you really break it down,
that's absolutely okay. Right.
He definitely was.
Like the Romans were just having orgies every Friday, then Jesus comes along and goes, "Oh God, here's Jesus."
He definitely was.
Here's Jesus.
Buzzkill.
Here's buzzkill Jesus again.
Yeah. This is what it sounded like in those days.
Oh Lord.
And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just when everyone's having the most fun. I mean, listen to how much fun they're having, right? And then all of a sudden, stop. No fun anymore. This is bad for the family. Mom, where's Dad? Well, he's in church, of course. And then it all changed.
Wow.
For better or for worse. But yeah, that's the short history of human sexuality.
But where would we be without these regulations? Without...
Oh, see, like, come on. Would you be...
Table manners.
Hang on. Would you be running around just behaving like a lunatic?
Already would you would have no pants on right now.
Would you be running around without pants on? Would you?
No.
If these rules didn't exist... Like,
of course you would.
I still want to embrace my Africanness by just going around.
I don't believe without these rules we'd all just be savage and running around and like copulating with each other in front of everyone else.
I think we'd
behave ourselves.
If you think about it, in the African like heritage, they sang a lot, musicals, hello. Yeah. They were running around naked, hello. And you drank beer? My goodness.
There was quite a lot of action going on.
I actually want to take back my Africanism. Wake up, drink beer.
You're leaving out a fair amount of warfare.
Oh, right.
But there are a lot of people who don't live by said rules or subscribe to the rules, and they're perfectly fine. I mean, there are a lot of people who don't believe in God.
Mm.
They're not out here being savages.
But they have their own moral compass.
That's right. And this is what bothers me is about these people who say that morality and decency and good behavior has to come from a book or a great spiritual teacher. It doesn't really. Because we all know if we cooperate, things will get better than if we try to kill each other or have sex with each other the whole time or just abandon all the rules. You know, decency... Most humans, we don't need a guidebook for this, do we? You don't just walk up to some other guy's wife and start porking her. Are you? You're not. That's not how we behave. Are you?
Not now.
No, I mean, I don't think we've ever behaved like that. I think more or less we can mind our manners.
Well, I guess, yeah, you're governed by reactions,
we don't need kings and gods and priests and people telling us the whole time what to do. Mabale's not going to become an animal just because those rules are removed. She doesn't listen to those people anyway. She doesn't go running around diddling everybody she can.
I personally think we'd be better off without presidents.
Yes. Yeah, sure. And look at our president. He's diddling everyone he can.
But like humans, I mean, we are so base anyway. It's all reaction-based, right? So if you want to go and pork someone and she smacks you, you go, okay, so maybe she doesn't want porking. Well, maybe I should go talk to her. And then you realize, okay, so I've got to talk to a woman first before the porking. And you learn quickly after that.
Talking before the porking.
There's a bumper sticker.
Yeah. That should be taught in life science.
You see why you got to watch these TV series? Because look what conversation comes out of it.
It's a great political,
fascinating conversation.
Political slogan too. Talking but before the porking. Vote 2015.
You know, guys, I think civilization did help.
How?
Imagine.
Careful, Helen Zilla.
No, guys. come on. Like, now I saw now visit Eastern Cape, and then they say, let's have a stick fight. Out of nowhere. Like, we're fighting. Like, why are we fighting?
Let's talk things through.
Can't we just chill and pry and drink?
All right. Oh, man.
Have you seen how messed up is that?
Yeah, it is. It's totally messed up. Okay, we've got to get going with our interview with Lesego and his mother, Elizabeth. It's part of our Mother's Day specials. We'll be doing all of this week, and there's some really touching, really moving, really interesting interviews that I think you will love. So stick around for all of these. They are a special feature on cliffcentral.com for the course of this week, and you can hear them all here. If you miss any of them, you can always download the podcasts and listen on cliffcentral.com at any given time. Coming up, Lesego and his mom, Elizabeth. On cliffcentral.com this month, we're going to be doing a whole lot of specials around Mother's Day. It's that important time of the year where moms get the extra special attention that they deserve. And for many of the most famous and well-known people in South Africa, it's also time for their moms, who might not be as well-known as they are, to get some of the shine. One of our regular contributors and one of the members of our family here at cliffcentral.com is Lesego Mabanga. He is one of the hosts of Unplugged and In Charge, which is one of our premier shows, and he's here this morning with his mother, Elizabeth. Good morning, Mom. How are you?
Good morning, Gareth.
Nice to meet you. It's an absolute pleasure to meet you. And Lesego, nice to see you again, dude.
I'm good, man. How are you?
I actually drove past Lesego, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
In the traffic. I saw you driving at great speed. but you looked like you were on a mission.
Always.
Yeah. And I suddenly thought, you know what? Let me see if I can get your attention. I wound down my window when we came to a stop street. And then I said, hey, Lesego. And he looked at me. He's like, he obviously thought there was some person trying to get his attention.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh my gosh, who's this person?
Yeah.
What did I do wrong now?
But your mother is here. Now, obviously, everybody's mom has a profound influence on their lives. And in your case, it's certainly true. I think it's probably also quite personal and different for everybody. Mm. But being a mom of someone who's doing as well as Lesego's doing must make you very proud.
Yes, I am a proud mother. Very proud.
Do you ever sort of sit back and think about how some moms have kids that aren't necessarily doing as well as Lesego and feel a bit sorry for them?
Yes, I do.
Because to obviously have a kid, you know, you never know what they're going to turn out like.
Yes.
And no matter how much effort and love you put in.
Yes.
Sometimes they just end up being very ordinary and average. And that's not the case for Lesego. He's gone from strength to strength.
Yes. I'm very proud because I see lots of those children because I work in the clinic, remember?
That's right. Now, I was looking at what you're up to, and you actually had to take time off today from the clinic because you work a very long shift there.
Yes.
And you work night shifts.
No, 7 to 7. We call them shifts, but day shift, 7 to 7.
So sometimes it's nighttime, sometimes it's daytime, or is it mostly day?
Oh, mostly day. You can choose if you want to go on night duty.
But that's a long shift for anyone to be, and you're always on your feet.
We are trained.
Yes, but I mean, you must also get tired.
Yeah, but we do get offs. Okay. When I'm on day duty, I work 2 days, 2 days off. You see that you rest. And then you go 2 days and you rest 3 days. So that is how it goes.
But 12,
so I'm off duty today.
12 hours, though, is a long time to be running around. And also, with you dealing with sick people and people who are not feeling great and not necessarily in the best mood. So it's tough sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it's tough, but we are trained, and you must know that you're dealing with a sick person. And remember, anything, it's a calling.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not just a job. If you go there and you are not called to this job, yes, you'll have problems. But it's a calling. You have to have passion. You have to humble yourself all the time, and then you'll cope. Otherwise, you'll crack there, because, yes, there are different people that you see there. Even our children, especially the boy children, they're troubled.
Do you think so? Is that your understanding from the clinic?
Yes, they come there. Most of them, there is this nyaupe in the country that is destroying our children. They are really destroyed.
Tell me about that from the point of view of being a nurse, because I think a lot of us know that it's out there, but we don't see it like you do. What do these guys come in, these young men, what do they come in with in terms of physical problems?
Yes, that thing is alive. It's alive. It's destroying our children. They come there. Usually you see them, they will come to you and they will sit down and look you in the eye and they say, I want to leave Nyaupe. Because now they don't eat.
So they eat thin.
They're very thin, and they eat you see the scopas, this and Simba chips. And now they suffer from, things like hunger and dehydration. And most of them, they die, unfortunately. But
I suppose they come to you when it's almost too late.
Yeah. And it's difficult. There are places where they are rehabilitated, but most of them, they fail rehabilitation. So when I look at Lesego, when I see them, I think of Lesego. And, I'm happy that I do tell him. And I've got a daughter, too. Both of them, they never give me a problem. Because I think I also never gave them any problems. Also, when they go out, I tell them that go with your friends, but tell me where you are going. And so then,
was your mom strict with you when you were younger?
Not at all. No, not at all. I think probably more encouraging than anything else. and she tells me a lot about her stories from the clinic, so I know one of her busiest nights are Friday nights and Saturday nights.
Because people party.
Because people party. They come there with like cuts and bruises and whatever the case may be. So especially because I'm in Joburg, so when I come back to Benoni for like a long weekend or whatever, the first thing you do is just skinner, like, what happened last weekend? And this is what people are doing. And now they're fighting with each other. And this person was fighting because this other person was with their girlfriend. And this happened. So it's very, very tipsy-turvy.
Lesego, do you sometimes think about your mum's work ethic and the fact that she's such a hard worker and she calls what she does a calling, which proves to you that it's not something she's just doing for money, and think about how that maybe made you the kind of guy you are? Because I know you take your work very seriously, and I know you're very disciplined, and you have huge ambition. Do you think it comes from her?
Undoubtedly. I mean, I was looking at her CV today. She has 5 diplomas and a degree.
I know. I was looking at this now. You've got a nursing management degree, clinical nursing science, health assessment, treatment and care, community health nursing, midwifery, and a general nursing diploma. That's phenomenal. You've been to Medunsa, the Anne Latsky Nursing College, Witwatersrand Technikon. Yes. Oh. I mean, this is unreal.
Yes, all over. I think, my children, they looked at me because both of them are studying. When I graduated, my baby, Kesuho was still young, but he was like still at the lower levels in the high school. He was holding my gown like this. He just wanted to hold my gown. He didn't want to do anything. And I looked at him. I was like, you. And then my daughter asked me that, Mom, how do you do it? Because you are a mother and you are working and you study. I said, I have to do it. You have to be focused. You have to know what you want. And then at some stage, my husband asked me that, do you want your marriage or you want the books? I SMS'd him. I said, I choose my marriage. And then I went straight to the books.
Did you manage to get the best of both worlds, or did he make you make that choice again?
Yes, I managed, because he's also proud now that I've
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it's also, I mean, the family is such an important cornerstone of anybody's success. And I don't know how many people in South Africa are fortunate enough to have a mum like you or a dad, any dad, because, you know, we see so many families, especially in rural town, in rural places, in the townships, we see a lot of people who don't have a father figure at all. Yes. And then the mother has to not only work herself to the bone to pay for everything, but she also has to try and be both parents and be at home and help her children. Do you think that that's part of the reason that there's so many kids who are on nyope and who are lost and who seem to have no support system?
Yes. Yeah, there is really a problem out there. You know what? Last weekend, this weekend, I don't know if I can tell you about that, that how painful it is in other families. You know, we had a mother, a very young mother, with a dead child, and that you call dead on arrival. And then this woman, she didn't see what was happening. And then we took this child from her, and then we put the child there away. And then we told her what happened. And the father came. You know, those people, they had nothing. They don't have, they won't be able to bury this child. Those are extreme situations where, you know, I also cried when I saw that. So we called the undertaker. They had nothing, nothing. They won't be able to pay anything. What do you do with such a situation? So we called the undertaker. I think, I just hope, I still need to follow up as to what happened. You know, if I felt if I had money, you know, I would just say, I will do it for you guys. They had nothing. It was poverty at its best. And, you know, I was wondering if our government is aware that there are still people like this.
I mean, that must be, it's hard enough to lose a child, but then to not even be able to bury the child is just such a
those
sad,
people, they
sad
had nothing.
Situation.
That man said he had a part-time and it's only 2 days, and that part-time isn't paid. So it was very sad. But the undertaker that we called, that man was so accommodating. He's a doctor, but that is why I say health, if you want healthcare sector, it's a calling.
Tell me how you got into nursing. I mean, why did this become your career path? Was there something that happened to you early on in your life that made you think this was for you?
All right, let me tell you what happened there. You know, I'm not going to preach, but you know what?
I'll go for
God
it.
Really... He really leads us to where we're supposed to be. I wanted to be a social worker. I got the bursary. Okay, in the bursary thing, you know, I like it. Lisiho had bursaries. My daughter has a bursary. I also had a bursary. So in matric. After matric, they sent me a letter that I must go to the university. They're still going to finance me. Mm. Unfortunately, I didn't know where was the university. And there was no one to take me there. Because in my family, I'm the only one at least who achieved all these things. And then I went to nursing. And then I know the hospitals around me. Karankua Hospital accepted me. Natal Spruit accepted me. But I went to Natal Spruit because it was nearer home.
Mm.
And then I became a nurse. I never looked back from school to nursing.
Isn't it very emotionally draining and tiring to be a nurse? Because these people are so needy. Some of them are very desperate people and they are helpless.
Not really. Because when you're a nurse, you have to be empathetic, not sympathetic. You know, even when I cried about these people, I was alone. I wouldn't do it in front of them. You have to support the person to the last. Even if you see that the condition is not going to, that person's going to not make it. You have to be empathetic. Otherwise, you'll go crazy.
And then that's not even including what you have to put up with in your own life, because everybody has ups and downs.
Yeah.
So was it tough to kind of bring home the money and look after the kids and run these very difficult shifts? And at the same time, you were studying.
Yes, you know, when Lisiho was young, I put Lisiho in aftercare after school.
Mm-hmm.
you know, Lesego out of the blue, young as he is, he said, no, I no more want aftercare. I said, there's no one to look after you at home. He said, just give me the key, I'll come back. And I was like, no, this one will go back to aftercare. That was it. He was young. He left aftercare before time. That was it. He would come home and make him, he knew how to make eggs,
mm-hmm.
eggs and bread. Makes himself eggs and bread and then watch TV until we come. Till today, we never had a problem.
Well, that's also why he ended up being so strong, because those eggs, that protein is good for him.
I think.
How did you feel when Lesego became, like, because he's won, like, pageants. He early on in life, he was already, they were saying how good looking he was. Mm. I mean, that's pretty cool. Like, everybody thought that your son was the best looking man in town. There are people all over South Africa who think he's the best looking guy in town, right?
Yeah, he's taking after his mother. Doesn't have a choice.
Good genes, right?
Yes.
Now, was he ever, did he ever need extra discipline? Was he ever badly behaved?
No, not really, because, you know, I'm telling you, Gareth, I tell them, I appreciate them that, you know, my children, I appreciate you. But Lesego for that wants to invoice me.
You taught him well.
Yeah, now he wants to invoice me. My daughter, and I was like, I also got a son-in-law that is just like my children. I call him big brother, that my children have got a big brother finally. He's also disciplined. One day my daughter called me that, yeah, I'm outside. Everything is just running smooth, and I thank God for that.
Well, it's obviously because you're the pillar in the middle of this. Do you think that's fair to say, Lesego?
Undoubtedly. I think even without her having to speak, if you just look at her credential and what she's been through, you know, it's like one in a million, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you're in that type of environment, it's very difficult to be mediocre. It doesn't make sense. Like, if your mom did it, then, you know, you must
get up. You don't have an excuse.
You got to get up off your ass and then just...
But now tell me, I mean, like, they talk about the black tax, right? And they talk about how it's very difficult for one successful person in the family to just carry on without actually helping the rest of the family. And you mentioned your brothers and sisters, and out of your family, Elizabeth, that you were the only one who got qualifications and who was able to get a job in nursing and so on.
Yes.
Did you have feelings, were you guilty about that when you saw your own brothers and sisters? Did you feel you had to help them?
You know that I just do whatever I have to do. It's them that will sit me down, that are you aware how much you're doing for us? They also appreciate me that I...
Sure.
Now, you know, I don't know, even if I'll be leaving the country. So when I left, I told my younger brother that, you know what, I'll be leaving. And he was like, no, we're going to be hungry.
Uh-oh.
I said, no, man, everything is taken care of. You're not going to be hungry if I'm away.
And where did you go?
No, I'm leaving on Monday.
You're going away now?
Yes.
Oh, where are you off
Monday,
to?
I'm going to Israel.
For how long?
2 weeks.
Wow. Is it a pilgrimage?
Yes.
And are you going to visit Jerusalem?
Yes.
Wow, this is incredible.
I'm going to walk where Jesus walked.
That's phenomenal. Are you excited because this is your first trip as well?
I am excited. Very excited. I'm scared of aeroplane, but I'm looking forward to this trip.
I think it's going to be amazing. Who are you going with?
With my church, Christian Family Church.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yes.
That sounds like it'll be an incredible journey.
Mm. Yes, it will be.
So, Lesego, you're a little upset you can't go as well.
Oh, you know, I still got to put in the hard graft.
Sure.
Maybe after 15 years, I'll take like a sabbatical from work and I'll be able to go as well.
Do you ever feel like you owe your mom more than you can ever repay her?
Not even to an extent, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be quite frank. But I think... Because when you're speaking about black tax and all that, it reminded me of my uncle that we used to stay with, because he had TB at a point.
Yeah.
And it was actually in my matric year, where we all lived together in the same household. And that's probably the reason why I did so well in matric, because I was like, there's so much more to life, and there's so many things that are far bigger, you know? So really things like academics and work and et cetera shouldn't be the pinnacle. It really should be about how well can you take care of your entire extended family. And my mother has a different view on black tax, actually. She doesn't really see it as a hindrance. but more of a social duty for everyone. You know, it doesn't make sense that you want to have a certain quality of life and then hug it to yourself.
Yeah.
It probably goes against all her principles, and in fact, therefore, all my principles. So, yeah.
Didn't you, because you've inherited this from your mom, I think it's fair to say that you also have a sense of responsibility. And maybe if the more you do for other people, the more it comes back to you anyway, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
So, I mean, didn't you buy your mom a car?
Yeah.
Oh, he did. I'm driving a Fosaris. That's unbelievable. My spine.
You know, I think you might have put that on social media once.
Yeah.
I just thought this is one of the most beautiful gestures I've ever seen in my life.
No.
Did you ever expect that you would have a son one day who would do so well, who would be such a source of pride to you, and that he'd even go to the trouble of buying you something like that?
I didn't think. That is why I say I don't want to preach, but you know, God can do things like I told you that nursing is a calling.
Mm.
It's not about money, but you are provided. You are provided. You know, you don't lack, and now I'm driving a fancy car, and
But Elizabeth, there must have been days where you thought, I'm working so hard for all these other people to support my children, to, you know, to make everything work. And you must have thought, I hope one day it ends up being worthwhile. And then before you know it, you've got a son like this.
Yes.
You've got a daughter like you have.
Yes.
You're off to Israel on a trip. It feels good.
It feels good.
And you deserve it.
I can afford whatever I want to do. Yes, though we are not so rich, but we can afford. Yeah, whatever you want to do, we can do it. Yeah.
What kind of dreams do you have for Lesego?
Oh, I want my boy to fly, you know, to fly and fly. I wish every best thing that he wishes for, you know, that the God can give the desires of his heart. Yeah. And my daughter too.
Mm.
Yeah. So I wish them very, very well.
Let me interject. You know, I think the perfect phrase here, you know, the phrase where it says your grandmother walked so your mother could run and then your mother ran so you could fly. I think that's probably the best analogy that I can think of. Because for me, with everything that you do, I mean, no one's ever really that great, you know?
Yeah.
You might think you're really cool, but you're really not. It's most likely, you know, it's most likely because of your family's prayers and how much they've invested in you, et cetera, is probably the reason why you're doing what you're doing. And I think for me, my ambitions are huge. I think from a very early, I mean, what? We're from Benoni, so it's very middle class. But I think what it taught me is that no matter where you are, right, anything is possible. So even for me, I remember when I studied engineering, there were days, bro, where those exams are insane.
Yeah.
And mom would just
engineering's
be like,
one of the toughest courses in the world.
There were days, and mom would be like, no, other kids will do it, you'll do it. And that's all she would say. It wouldn't be a matter of, do this, jump through these hoops, do 10 backflips. No, other kids did it, you'll do it.
I also told him that, you know what, I also fell and wake up and
you dust yourself off.
Yeah, and then you go for it. I didn't. It's not just a smooth road that you go there. So you must know that there will be problems, but you must overcome them.
What about, I know you and Weza and Sipiwe and Vaughan often talk about your respect for women. And we do have a problem in South Africa because there are a lot of men who don't respect women, even if they come from households where the women did everything, and where they were raised by women, and these women were the pillars of their families.
Mm.
There's an attitude, and it's across the board in South Africa, of kind of men just not being sensitive, not being caring.
Yeah,
that obviously, I can say for the four of you, because I've observed you at close quarters and I've heard what you've said, and you live this life, you have a profound respect for women. Do you think that also comes from the fact that you have a strong mom in your case?
I think for me, I was raised by my grandma mom, and my sister's 10 years older than me.
So you've been surrounded by women. You had
the
no
whole
choice.
Time.
If you didn't respect women, they would have beaten you.
Yeah, my mother was very supportive.
Ah.
And very strong.
Yeah, and grandmothers are strong. Such an important part of what we do, right?
My mother was very supportive, and she wasn't educated. But my children, you know, we would put Lesego's shirt into the jig, that they pick up. Lesego was always clean at school because of my mother.
She must be an incredible woman. Is she still around?
No, she.
I'm sorry. When did she die?
2002.
And how much of your own journey was made possible by her sacrifices?
She, Lesego and my daughter, she took care of them. You know, when my mother passed away, Lesego came to wake me up. That, Mom, I'm ready for school. He washed himself, he dressed himself. I was like, you. Thank you, Mom. So she really contributed a lot in our family.
What kinds of things did she do to make your career possible?
To take care of household. You know, there was a time where her eyes were becoming weak. When she irons, you know, something like stripe, she'd iron one side.
Yeah.
And then I said to her, she must stop. I'll ask someone to help us. She became angry. She called my brother. There was a meeting. She was very angry that I said she's not able to do. I said, no, it wasn't because of that. It's because your eyes now are weak. And my brother had to come.
Did she think you thought her work was not good
enough? Yes. She called my brother. She was very angry. And, you know, I was just taking, you know, care of her and, you know. But then my brother made her to understand. Then we got someone to do our ironing.
Are the material rewards of success important?
It's I'm gonna put it a different way. It's not so much that, it's about quality of life and living standards.
Well, so what kind of quality of life, if you compare your grandmother and your mother and you, what kind of a quality of life do you feel is the kind of life that you would like to, first of all, create for yourself and your mom, but also to be able to spread, as you said, to the extended family eventually? What sort of life is a good life?
For me, it's never to need. So we all have different things that we value, right? So for me, I really like cars, for example.
Sure. You know,
in Joburg, if you're sitting in an hour, 2 hour long traffic, you want to be comfortable, right? For my mom, and I know this because I get notifications every 2 weeks, she likes doing her nails. You know, and if that's her thing,
important.
That's important to her.
Well, thanks to you, she also likes cars now.
So I see it going off of my car every 2 weeks. And if that's what makes her happy, that's what makes her happy. I think when you talk about quality of life, people always think, oh my gosh, people want like gold plated helicopters. No. It's about a quality of life of never having to need.
Yeah, don't all want to live in a rap video.
No.
But we do like to be able to give our moms something special.
Yes. And when you say something special, you know, when you say take trips, for example, we're not saying go to Miami.
No,
here's a mom who wants to go to Israel and walk where Jesus walked. That is important to her. That's, you know, that's the cornerstone. I mean, that's her religion. That's her culture.
Sure.
Something she believes in deeply. And it's the materialistic things or the money that you make that can enable those things to happen. And that's why I do what I do. And I'm very competitive and I work extremely hard. And I'm unapologetic about it.
But you guys also do. I know that again, I'm going to reference all of you together because I've been to so many of the things that you and Weza and Simpiwe and Vaughan do. When you do these events where you motivate people and you get people talking to each other and it's networking, you don't do those for money.
No.
I mean, these things are you're actually trying to extend the goodness out into the community.
Yes.
The more you give, the more you get. And that is so profound because half the things that I've had, I mean, I got an entire degree without paying a cent.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you worked damn hard.
Yeah.
You weren't afraid of the work.
No.
If you'd got home to your mother and said, oh, by the way, I might have failed this subject, I'm sure she wouldn't have been thrilled.
Yeah, you know? And then, when I look at my journey and I see, and you know, we all speak about this, Wes and Simpiwe and Vaughan. Everything that we've gotten is not something that we've always gotten more than what we bargained for.
Yes.
You know? And there's a certain portion of Ubuntu that you need to have to say that I need to be able to do something even though I'm getting nothing back. If you come to our house, I mean, our house is basically a pharmacy. One of the things I profoundly remembers is people walking in and saying, yo, my son is this, or I have this headache, or I have this.
So your mum's nursing didn't stop at the clinic.
It was just 24/7.
And you have people knocking on the door all the time.
All the time.
Even if I can change jobs, others, they follow me. No way I stay. And I was like, yo.
So for me, it was nothing new. You know, help people. Right. People, you know, you need a support system. You need people around you to help you out. And that's probably the most important thing. Even if the guys didn't even have money, you know, my mom would be like, no, take this, get better. Once you get better, you can work and then come back later. It's fine. So I think definitely that type of exposure, quintessential.
And Mom Elizabeth, have you seen Letsego in action? You've seen him doing his show. Have you seen him on stage?
Hey.
Because he's quite impressive, I've got to tell you.
I have. You know, he showed me, and I did go with him to other motivation places.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was introducing me, and he told me to stand up, and everybody was like, and they were clapping for me, and I was like, I was overwhelmed. And then I saw him, he showed me his laptop, and the whole hall at school, and the teachers were like this, looking at Letsego. I cried also. They were so attentively looking at Letsego, and I cried, like tears of joy.
Well, he's already flying. I mean, you mentioned how you want him to fly, and he's already flying. Mm. Now, I'm quite interested in this trip of yours to Israel. I mean, your faith is obviously a very important part of this, because I think for a lot of people, it's the bedrock. It gives them hope when there isn't hope. It gives them strength when there isn't strength. It helps you to figure your way through the world where there are so many challenges and so many people who are not good and pure. Mm. And to be able to go to a place like this, it must be quite fulfilling to also appreciate the history. I mean, 2,000 years ago, to be able to see the places that Jesus was, right?
Yeah, and what I've worked through, what I've seen God doing in people's life. And, you know, I just want to say that in giving, there's a secret in giving. I don't know, the more you give, the more you get. I didn't really have a problem. You know, I thought about it like I want to go to Israel 2 years ago. But here I am going.
So it almost, you made it happen by thinking about it, by wishing for it.
Yeah, by thinking about it. All of a sudden, I've
and
got
praying
a ticket,
and,
yes.
And what are you most looking forward to seeing?
Oh, it's fulfilling. I just want to see everything there. I just want to see everything there, and I just want to get myself a gold necklace from Israel with the cross.
That'll be very special.
Yeah, that is going to be special.
Now, are you in a hurry for grandchildren here? I mean, Letsego's still young. You know, it's not like the old days. People don't have to have kids at 21.
Yes,
but is there pressure?
No, there's no pressure. I've asked him. I've already asked him. But when are you going to start your family? He said, at 40. I said, no, it's fine. It's okay.
You happy with that?
I don't want to pressure him because I am the working mother. Né?
Hmm.
Okay, what if he gets a child and that child doesn't have parents or whatever, and then I end up with the child.
Mm.
But well, I will be happy still, but no pressure. There was a time, because he's still in his early 20s, but with my daughter, I pressured my daughter because he was 30. And he was like, hey, I'm going to have my 30th birthday. I said, no, you're not having that birthday. You are having a child.
It's good to be a man.
I'm like, yes, so that's done and sorted. I can go and live my best life. I can go.
Because, you know, in family planning, we want the spacing,
but
you also do need children because you won't stay young forever.
Yeah,
you must have children. Look at me. This morning I came with my daughter. Letsego fetched me. Look. Everything is just flowing.
Because you got these two fantastic
kids. Children,
but if you'd had horrible children, it would have been a bad thing. Now, are you always pleased with the kinds of girlfriends that Lesejo's had? Or are you always a little bit worried that he might choose badly?
It's
a good question.
Yeah. It's a good question. Yeah, really. You know, as to girlfriends. Okay, let me skip that. But in short, I never had any problem.
I think I'm a pretty good girlfriend.
No girlfriend has called me and you know, talk things that Lesego is doing, blah, blah, blah.
Can Lesego cook? I mean, you said he could make bread and eggs and simple stuff once.
Yes.
Can he cook anything better than that?
I wanted to teach him how to cook pap. He said, Mom, no, don't teach me. I said, why? I said to him, okay, it's fine. I didn't pressure him. Yeah. I said, it's fine. But you have to study so that you can afford to buy the pap. Guess what? Lesego doesn't eat carbohydrates.
Of course not.
Yes. So it muscle. Was really irrelevant. I didn't understand it that time, but Lesego doesn't take any carbohydrates. Doesn't eat pap.
He's definitely not fat.
No.
You don't have to worry about that, huh?
Yeah. You know, at some stage, I was worried about this gymming.
Yeah.
And he was
getting too big.
Yeah, I was getting too big. I said, Lesego, you must stop it. He said, Mom, at university, there are three things. It's alcohol, drugs, and gym. Choose.
Which one? Choose.
Oh, my God.
That's a good choice. You didn't really give him much option there. That's great.
Oh, he didn't. And then I had to pay for his gym. Because I didn't want to pay.
Because everybody has hobbies, so pick one.
Sure. Cool.
Yeah. Pick three.
Can't study 24/7.
You don't live with your mom anymore, obviously.
No.
But how often do you get to go home and see her?
She complains a lot about that, actually. So I don't go very often. Probably like what? Like once, twice a month?
He's ever working.
Yeah.
That's not good enough. You can't keep an eye on him if he's only home twice a month. It's time to start getting all disciplined again.
So I do have I can have a bit of... I can get a bit... what's the word? When you're fixated on something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my hours can be, I could go into the office at 7 and then leave at like 6 and, you know, leave at midnight, whatever the case may be. But it's always like to get the work done, to at least try and push and almost set the bar for what I want to do the next year.
You doing anything special for Mother's Day this year?
This is something special.
You
guys helped me out.
This is very special. Yeah. And now we will...
This is the first time that I've been in front of this mic. Oh.
But it's not scary, right?
No, not really.
We didn't want to make you feel uncomfortable.
No, I feel at home.
I'm very happy.
Already. I'm at home already.
Well, this is kind of Lesego's home also a lot of the time. And I'm thrilled that he's a part of our family. So thank you, Mama, for giving him to us for a little bit of the time.
You're welcome.
And I just love you both. And I think what you've got is so special. And this is exactly the kind of story that I think means a huge amount to people who either don't have moms. You know, there are lots of people in South Africa who don't have their mothers, who don't have a good relationship, even if they do have their mother around. And it's a very privileged thing to be able to grow up with a mother who cares and loves you as much as yours clearly does, Lesego.
Oh,
and
wow.
To have a son like him.
Oh, wow, yes, true.
Well, I love you both. Thank you so much for being a part of the show.
Thank you very much, Gareth.
Thank you. And happy Mother's Day for when it comes.
Thank you very much, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. CliffCentral.com.